And I'll be quite honest, we've been going through a rough patch here recently. Not nothing physically, but going through something real spiritual. So I didn't have a jug of water, didn't have a loaf of bread, but I did get alone with God. And yesterday, I don't know if it happened to anybody, but I guess it rained so much over this past summer that somewhere down 123, right before you get to Starkey Clevenger, there's a ditch right there, and Western Water's force main runs through there. But the rain had washed away some of the earth, and the line broke, and I had no water. So we had to improvise. And then the wind blew so hard last night, it tore up some things at the house, but it knocked the power out and didn't have no power, but I had to improvise. But can I say this? When something comes beating on my connection with the Lord and it seems like the connection's disconnected, you can't improvise. The only thing you can do is get to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to reconnect. And as Brother James didn't know, and the songs and things that got put together, I want to preach this morning, if you'll pray for me. I want to preach exactly how the Lord wants me to preach. I want to preach some more. I want to preach, I can't prove them. I can't prove them. Or maybe better yet, I haven't proved myself. My heart is heavy for our day and times that we're living in, not just for lost people, but for church folk. And the reason why my heart's burdened for it, and I'm not the judge. Don't no one think that I'm the judge. I'm not. I'm just a seed sower. I'm just a water boy. If you'll have it, I'm just the waiter. I don't cook the message. I don't put the message together. Don't have the recipe. I just get it, and I gotta serve it. But we're living in days and times where my heart is heavy. I see so many today, and we was talking at the house, and we was talking back there. I don't know the Catholics all too well. I don't know the Pentecostals all that well. I don't know the Methodists all that well. I don't know the Nazarenes all that well. Lord of mercies, there's so many denominations, King's State. Now we got non-denominational. I mean, at least before you knew what kind of soup can it was. Now you don't know what kind of soup it is. But I know the Baptists real, real well. Know them real well. And the Baptist folks in trouble. And I will say this today, you ain't going to heaven because you're a Baptist. And you ain't going to heaven if you're a Catholic or a Pentecostal. You're going to heaven because you're a child of the King. The King, not a King, the King. The King of Kings, the Lord, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Somebody say amen right there. Wonderful Counselor, the Great I Am, the Precious Lamb, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The one that Abraham told his son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. That he's the reason why. Salvation's not in prayer. Salvation's not in your Bible. Salvation's not in the church pew. And salvation's not in the church. It's in a person. And that person's name's Jesus Christ. Oftentimes we try to put our little ornaments on and things of that nature. But can I say this? Things that have not been proven won't work. And it seems like we're living a day and time, Brother James Powell, that folks is moving away from things that are proven. And they're trying to go with something that might be a little bit more fancier, more flashier, maybe more to the liking of the eye. But I'll say this, if it's been proven, we ought not to move from it. You can't improve on something that works. Somebody say amen. I've seen people, I mean, can you improve on the wheel? I mean, how more rounder can you get? Right? Everybody says that the person who does, he makes a better mousetrap is the one who's going to win. But I'll say this, the Lord has cornered the market on salvation. Nobody has ever been able to redeem their soul. The Bible says man cannot redeem his brother's soul. But I'm glad today to know this, that Christ will redeem you and save your soul. And can I say this today, child of God, if you are saved, and I always put the word if, because Paul always used the word if. And I want to stop right there, I want to say something. Where some folks would say that we need to preach this, need to preach that, but I'll look at it this way. We preach the whole Bible, the conclusion of the whole matter, but we look at the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul was going out, and what he was dealing with was wickedness in high places. He was looking at false doctrines and false brethren everywhere, and some folks say, why do we preach the way that we preach? Here's the reason why. Excuse me for this. Excuse me, but I will say the reason why we preach what we preach, because the Bible says by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased him to save them that would believe. The Apostle Paul said this, he says, "For I am now ready to preach the gospel unto you, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also unto the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." And can I say this, a lot of folks may not like preaching, a lot of folks may not trust preaching, a lot of folks may not want to hear from the preacher, but friend, I will say this, he may not be your best friend, but if he's preaching the word of God in power and demonstration of God, it's the best thing for you today. And so if you'd like to go with us in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, familiar scripture, 1 Samuel 17, we are reading at the place where we find David as the young lad, the teenager, if you'll have it, freshly anointed by God to be the next king of Israel. Most of us know the story. This is the story of David versus Goliath. Can I say, we all should know that story, whether we've read it or not. We've heard it so many times. But can I say, it's not just a story. It's something that really happened. Life applications can be used in this scripture. If you got 1 Samuel 17, say amen. If you ain't got it, say, hold up, preacher. Stand with us if you're able, if you can. We want to stand for the reading of God's word and reverence it. If you're able to stand, you can still reverence it if you're seated. But I would like it if you could, please stand with us. I'm going to read at 1 Samuel 17. We'll start reading at verse number 38. I'm going to read down to verse number 40. And the Bible says this, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword about his armor, upon his armor. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." Would you pray with us this morning? Precious Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the songs, the testimonies. Lord Father, thank you for as I feel, Lord Father, in my heart. But Lord, I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm jittery, Lord Father. And I pray for your will and I pray for your hand to be upon me, Lord. I pray for that fresh oil, that fresh anointing. Lord God, I can't go by what was preached before. I can't go by what somebody else has preached. Lord, I got to go by what you want me to say today. Lord Father, may I follow you, surrender unto you, Lord Father, wholefully and soulfully and willfully, Lord. May my flesh be shut down, Lord Father, hid in the cross. Lord Father, may my lips be open, my tongue be loosed, my heart be full of what you have to say. May I not say nothing, Lord Father, that would not bring glory and honor to your name and not be truthful and factual. But Lord, may I also have boldness to say everything that you want me to say. Lord, that we may hear exactly what the counsel and the whole matter is. Now I pray for our hearts, Lord Father, to be open to hear, exactly what you have us to say. I pray that often and earnestly, Lord Father, not out of repetition, but Lord Father, for a fear. Lord Father, though the word has been spoke, the word has been preached, and some folks may think, well, I didn't hear that they're not held accountable. But friend, may I say this, and Lord, may I pray this, Lord Father, to all of our ears that's listening. Whether we are listening, whether our attention is arrested or not, Lord, we still give an account of this word. For it shall not go out void, and it shall not go out and return unto you void. It shall serve the purpose by which you intend. It's in your Son's sweet, precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach on that. Have not proved them, or have I been proven? Am I proven? What do I need to prove? I mean, you could take that in so many ways. David's addressing the situation in Samuel chapter number 17. We all know the story. We all know how David wound up there. David's anointed king. David's got the oil. David's been by King Samuel, the Lord, or the prophet Samuel anointed him. And the Bible says he was the youngest of Jesse's of sons. The battle is in array. They're pitched on each side of the mountain. There's a valley in between. We've preached upon the valley, and others have preached along these lines too. We find David is sent up there to look and see what's going on, and to bring some food and some things to try to help boost the morale of his brothers by dad's command. When he gets up there, the brothers are not happy with him. They just think he's there to spy out. I don't know if they're upset, Brother James, because he got the anointing and they didn't. I don't know. But the Bible said he did know the heart of the oldest one, and he did not choose him, for his heart was not right with the Lord. But the Lord chose David's heart. A man, somebody would say, well, Lord, he don't know much. He's inexperienced. He doesn't know the tactics of war. He doesn't know what it means and what it takes to fight in a battle, let alone fight a giant. But the Bible says that when he was looking and seeing that the giant was out there, he probably asked his brothers, what's going on here anyway? And he looked out. He said, you see that big old feller down there in the valley? He said, and he probably said, yeah, I see him. He said, he's the captain of their army, and he's issuing a challenge for them to come out and fight him, and whoever wins the fight, he says, the other groups, the other army is going to have to serve the winning army captain as servants. And he's looking around, and he sees the Philistine bragging, Brother James. He sees the Philistine armed for bear, and he's looking around. He can't find not one of God's people willing to step up and to step out and say, I choose me, Lord. And can I say this? I think we're having a problem today where God's people are still standing on the sideline and not taking part in the things that they need to take a part in. And friend, can I say this? When it comes time, you get put in that battle, and it'll come time when you'll find yourself in a fight. You'll look for things that you'll try to use to try to win the fight. But friends, you have not proven those things. You won't know how to use those things. May I say this? When David saw the things that was going on, and David looked around and didn't see not one of God's men, not one of God's military men, not one of God's, not God. I'll say this. Maybe there was no mighty men of valor for God standing on the sideline. But Brother James, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to train up not just people who are saved, but we're trying to train up some mighty men and mighty women of God who'll get in the battle, get on the front lines and fight the good fight of faith. Somebody say amen and finish the course with, hey, bless his holy righteous name. Let's say I've done everything that God's told me to do and I've been a faithful soldier unto him. May I say this? David probably looked out and said, well, if nobody's going to fight him, I will. David got fed up with a bad mouth, and David got fed up with the bashing of God and his people. David got tired of the blasphemy and the false lies and the things that was hollering out. He probably got sick and tired of it, Brother James. And I'll say this, it may hurt some people's feelings, but I'm sick and tired of them folks trying to say the way you're doing things is wrong, the way you're doing things is not right. I'll just say it may not seem right unto you to do the things the way we do them, but I do know they've been proven to work every single time. I'll say this, the Bible says in Psalm chapter number 26 and verse number 2, the psalmist says, examine me, O Lord. He says, prove me. He says, prove me, God. Lord, you prove me. Try my heart and try my reins. He said, God, prove me. Prove that I'm right. Prove me that I'm in your will. Prove me that I'm doing the things that you want me to do. Friend, there's nothing worse than not knowing what you're supposed to do. There's nothing worse than being lost in a place that you have no place to go. Friend, can I say this? It's not we have to prove ourselves to God, but we need to ask God to prove that he's living inside of us. There's many of people say, Brother James, and we talked about this morning, and they'll say, well, preacher, I believe in God. I know that he's real. And I know he's existed. And I know Jesus died upon the cross. Can I say this? I believe the same thing too, but I was not saved. And my Bible tells me in James chapter number 2 that the devils believe and they tremble. Hey, but just because you believe that he exists and believe that he's real doesn't make you saved. Somebody say amen right there. Hey, you can live in the garage, make you a car. You can join up with the Lions Club, doesn't make you a lion. You can join up with a moose, don't make you a moose. And friend, you can't join up with the church and expect to get you into heaven. Friend, it has to be proven into your heart that Christ lives inside of you. May I say this? You don't prove it to nobody else, but you ask the Lord to prove you to you. I'm reminded in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 9, and Paul said, are we better than they? He says, no, and no wise, because we have before proved that Jews and Gentiles all are under sin. It has been proven fact that there's none good, no, not one. The psalmist, after God, there's none that seeketh and looketh for him. God looked down from heaven to see if he'd see anything good in any man, and he found not one good man upon the earth. I know people say, preacher, that's negative. Preacher, that doesn't make sense. We should always look for the good in man. Friend, that's what the problem is. We're looking for a corruptible flesh and a corrupted mind and a corrupted heart, trying to find something good. My thing is what the Bible tells us. Everything that's corruptible and everything that's and everything that's defiled, come to the one who can clean you up. Come to the one who can say your righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God, but I'll bear all your your sin and become your sin. It might be made new in the righteousness of God. From now on, you have to worry about if you've done right or done wrong. But you look and see what I've done for you. And it's been proven in your heart. Bible says this in Psalm chapter 26, God proved me. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Paul's saying it's been proved that you're a sinner. Now, I like what God told Malachi in chapter number 3. I'm going to spook some people, but it's still Bible. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. You know what's wrong with a lot of church houses today? They may have the banner, may have the steeple, may have the denominational shingle. But Sister Stella, there's no meat in the house. There's no meat in the house. You know, it's up to us to bring the meat into the house. Y'all hearing the preacher? Y'all pray for him. I'm about to get on a sidetrack right here, but I got to hit this scripture. Jesus, when he come across them disciples and they went a-fishing, he said, hey, fellas, have you got any meat? They said, we fished all night and we've got nothing. Can I say, you know what's right? Because they was fishing on the wrong side of the boat. They was doing things they ought not to have done. I know it may not be popular, but it's still right. And Jesus said, cast your net down on the right side. I think if God's people will start doing right, acting right, and proving themselves to be right, hey, bless his holy and righteous name, there'll be meat in God's house. Not only did he say, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, there'll be meat in my house, but he said, and prove me now herewith. He says, prove me wrong. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord Christ, the Lord our Christ. If I don't open up the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing in so much, there will be no room for you to receive it. That's that part where he says, pressed down, shaken, and runneth over. Amen. I wonder if you've proven God today. Have you proven God yesterday? Have you proven God in the days past? I think you ought to prove God out. I think you put the proof, I think you put the challenge out to God. God, here's my prayer request. Will you answer it? God, here's my life. Will you change it? God, here's my wife. Lord, here's me. Lord, here's my kids. Here's my home. Here's my job. Here's my finances. Here's my car. Here's my lawnmower. Here's my dog. Here's my cat. Here's my chickens. Here's my egg-laying hen. Lord, I'm giving you everything. Lord, you everything, Lord. I'm giving you everything there is. You said you'd open up a storehouse. You'd open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon me. There'd be no room to contend. Does anybody still believe that today? I believe it 100%. Does anybody, I'll raise my hand and say, I believe that 100%. You said, preacher, how can you say you believe it? Because it's the Word of God. And can I say this? Those Bible, those marks, those places in the Bible where things have been proven, things that work, can I say this? At one time in the Bible, they carried the ark with staves of gold through the rings of gold that attached to the ark of gold. That's how they carried it about. And it was the priests, it was the Levites that carried the ark, Brother James. But can I say, sometimes people get a thinking they can do something new, it might work. But when you do something new that's not been proven, it always comes out to be wrong. Y'all hearing the preacher? How often say this, they may try, you may preach the gospel better than I do, but you can't preach a better gospel. Ain't that right? They might be better preachers out there, Sister Stella, but they can't preach it. They can't preach a better gospel than what I'm preaching, because they got to be preaching the same gospel. Is that right? But we're living in a day and times where they're trying to change everything and do something new. Brother James, they're trying to preach the message that God is love, love, love. The Bible doesn't say God is love, love, love. But in the book of Revelation, it says God is holy, holy, holy. Ain't that right? Now, yes, God is love, but he's holy, holy, holy. And the Bible says that we should live holy, live holy, live holy, act holy, speak holy. You say, preacher, I find myself doing without. Hey, put yourself right next to me. But friend, I'm glad he's proven to be correct. I've proven myself to be flawed, but I'm glad he has not given up on me. Are you proven today? We find that David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to the children of Israel, back to Jerusalem. He got together a bunch of his buddies. They said, how are we going to bring that back? They said, you know what makes a lot of sense? Somehow, some way, I think a cart would work real good. Not just any cart, but a brand new cart. Let's make us a cart and hook it up to a cow, and we'll bring it back home. And what they did is they hooked up that cow to that brand new cart. You find that in 2 Samuel, chapter number 6. And you'll find out they brought that new cart, got that cow, and they're just bebopping and rocking all the way back to Jerusalem. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Oh, they thought they done had everything sliced and diced real good. They got the singers together, got the musicians together. They probably played every note on the right key. They probably had the perfect pitch, Brother James. They was probably singing the repeats, the do, re, mi's, and everything down perfect. There's only one problem. God's ark is not supposed to be carried by a cart and pulled by a cow. It's supposed to be carried by men of God, holy men of God, men that's been picked and drawn out, men that God chose, men that God separated for the work of those things. And the Bible says when that ox, when that cow began to stumble, the Bible says that the cart began to shake. And when the cart began to shake, the ark of the covenant, the ark began to fall off, and Uzzah put his hand upon the ark to steady the ark. Now most of us would say, well, that's a good thing to do, but it breaks God's law, which God's law has been proven to be right. It's been proven that man's not right. It's proven that man's all under sin. And the Bible says only the Levite can touch the ark. So when Uzzah touched the ark, God cannot lie. God's got to keep his word. And Uzzah died right then. You said, preacher, what are you preaching all that for? Them pulling it with a new cart and a cow is not nothing new. They tried to do the same thing, and it was the enemy. They tried to pull the ark of God. They put it in their house of Dagon. They had captured the ark. They got it in the house of Dagon. They said, hey, we got her set up right here. We'll put the ark of God next to our God. Remember when we opened, we said that our gods have eyes. Our God has eyes and he can see. Our gods has ears and he can hear. Y'all remember that? Has hands and he can reach out. Well, every night they put the ark in the house of Dagon, the Philistines would go to bed and got up next morning, and the god Dagon was flat on his face as a statue. And the Bible says them Philistines propped up their God right next to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can I say that's my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? That's my God who said that ark of that covenant's got the bread, got the rod, and got the tablets in it. That's my God. Y'all hear the preacher this morning? And can I say I'm glad that's my God? I don't have to prop him up like the Philistines do, but my God props me up. Oh, bless his holy and righteous name. Men out there, people out there, men and women, trying to prop up a God, trying to say it's the right way to go. But friend, we don't prop up our God. He props us up. He gets up underneath us, secures us, carries us, helps us. Why? Because he's a proven God. So what happened the next night? They wake up the next morning to come in. Their God's flat on his face and his hands and his head's gone. Broke off. Can I say this? You try to do something new, it's going to be proven out. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Can I say this? Jeroboam thought two golden calves was better than one. Y'all hearing the preacher? Two golden calves is better than one. Jeroboam in 2 Kings said, I'll make two golden calves. It caused the children of Israel to fornicate against God. They backslid. Can I say this? In the Old Testament, when they backslid, they just didn't lay out a church. Somebody say amen. When they backslid, they left God, went and worshiped other gods, doing other things, didn't want no part of God, nor God's word, nor God's people. Somebody say amen right there. Made themselves different gods, worshiped gods different way, did things differently. Y'all hearing the preacher? And can I say this? They didn't have to have nobody else prove them. They was proving it themselves that they was not following the Lord. But that was nothing new. We find out that Aaron, when Moses spent too much time upon the mountain for the children of Israel's eyes, thought he spent too much time upon the mountain, they said, we need a God that we can worship. I mean, what happened where they could not see the cloud of smoke upon the mountain, not see the lightnings and hear the thunderings, that God was conversing with Moses? God help us today. Sometimes we're like, well, preacher, we're the people that we want it now. And I've said this before, we got that Burger King religion in the world today spreading like a wildfire. Want it my way, want it now, and our way only. And they want those things that way when we should have things the old way, the old time way, the old fashioned way, the way it's been proven. I still love my King James Bible. Somebody say amen right there. I still love my King James Bible. I think it's worked throughout history. It's been proven to be the Word of God for the English speaking people. We don't need another translation. We don't need something easier to read. We just need to reread what God has already given. It's been proven. It's worked throughout generations. Thousands upon thousands of people have been saved. Why? Because of a King James Bible was preached out of when a man of God stood on a pulpit. A pulpit made of wood, not a podium. A pulpit made of wood. And he stood and proclaimed the word of God. Still think it works today? It's been proven to be true. Is anybody here, preacher, this morning? I still like that best love hymn. I still like him. I still like that church hymnal. I still like them songs we was singing. There's a land that's fairer than day. I still like them old songs like I'll Fly Away. I still like them songs Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I still like that song Throw Out the Lifeline, Throw Out the Lifeline. I still like the song Oh Happy Day, Oh Happy Day. I love the song In the Ear of the Cross. I love the song In the Shadow of the Cross. I like that song What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Somebody, y'all hearing the preacher this morning? Those songs have been proven. Those songs have been tried. Those songs have been put to the test. And they're still good songs to sing. We don't need something new. We need to stick with what's been proven. And too many times we're trying to find something different and find something new or do something differently to provoke or to poke some things to be done differently out of a person's heart when I'm reminded that we don't need nothing new. We don't need nothing fancy. We need what's right. David, in this battle, the king looked at him and said, "Well, what makes you think you got the resume to take on Goliath? What's your resume? What's your qualifications?" And David said, "Well, I don't know about Goliath, but I do know one time a lion and a bear come took a lamb from daddy's flock." He said, "And I got that lamb back. I killed that lion and I killed that bear." Oh, it amazed Saul. It blessed Saul, Sister Stella, how David could do the work that he said he'd done for his daddy. But can I say this? David didn't have a fancy armor. Him being a shepherd boy, all he had was probably a sling and a rod and a staff. All he had was that purse, that scrip that he hung on his waist. That's all he had. But can I say this? When he was not in front of everybody showing off his talents and showing off his ability, he was back up on top of the mountain doing what daddy wanted him to do. Daddy gave him some orders, said, "Son, keep my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." David stayed upon the mountain, though he may have wanted to go home. Maybe he got homesick. I don't know, maybe he wanted to go home and play some Xbox and PlayStation. I don't know. But can I say that young teenage boy, Brother Eddie, he stayed with what God wanted him to do. Though the rest of his buddies was out doing something else, he stuck with God. He stuck with daddy. He said, "I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to stick with these things. You know what? I've gotten pretty good with this slingshot. I've gotten pretty good with this whole rod. I've gotten pretty good carrying this stuff in my purse. I can make it. I've done these things. I've slept in the cold. I've slept in the rain. I've done everything that's come my way. I've done it all because daddy wanted me to do it." And happy he was. So here he is now in the battle, in the fight. Oh, King Saul reminds me of the modern day theologian. He says, "What you need is a better translation." So here's your helmet. "What you need is some better education from a well-rounded, more blessed, educated professor." So here's your armor. "And what you need is something a whole lot sweeter and a whole lot smoother, more flashier and bigger. So here's your big old sword." I can just see David. I could just see him. It'd be like Levi putting on my sport coat. It's all right. You can say amen. And that thing would just swallow him whole. "Here, Levi, put on this sport coat. It's gonna put everything in perspective and help you do everything you need to do." He couldn't wear that sport coat, Lord. He'd fit in a sleeve. David's standing around. He's wearing that armor. And this is what David said. He said, I can't use this stuff. I've never proven it to be true. Can I say this? Why are we trying to do something new? Make our lives better? Can I share a fault with you? Can I share something with you? As I said, I've been going through some things. I didn't know what to do, what was going on. So I just got in my truck. I've slammed doors all weekend. I've hollered all weekend. I was in a bad state. I don't know what was going on. Instead of me trying to Google it, instead of me trying to Wikipedia it, instead of me trying to dial 1-800, "Dr. Phil, can you help me out here?" Instead of going on Facebook, taking a poll. Right? James, I'm looking at you because I know you won't get mad at me. I'm not worried about if I get enough likes and comments on my Facebook stuff. I'm not a Facebook Christian. I'm just a Christian. Y'all hearing the preacher? Started walking out the door, Sister Stella. I told my wife, I said, "Text me. Text me when something's done." I wasn't throwing out my wife. I just got in the truck and left. Drove down to Whitaker Park, pulled in there, and got by myself. The only thing that ever worked for me was just opening up my heart and crying. and talking to the Lord. You know what I found out? I lost track of time. The wind kept blowing, and it was a chilly breeze, but I was warm as could be praying. You know why? How I knew it was so good to get along with God, Brother Jeff? Because I've proven it. That was the best way to be with God. I found David. I found that Samuel. I found that Isaiah. I found Jeremiah. Even when he tried to quit, Brother James, he said, "I'd like to quit. Nobody's listening." But he says, "The fire's shut up in my bones. I got to do what God wants me to do. I got to preach." Got along with God. And can I say this? We've drifted away from the things that are proven and trying to find something new. Maybe if I read a different book, maybe I read something else. I've told people many, many times, I ain't got no problems with other books. I ain't got no problems with them. But they ain't the Bible. They don't take the place of the Bible. That's a good place to have, that's a good book to have in your home. Not as a looking piece, Brother Logan, but as a Bible, as the recipe. It's the best way to live, best way to die. It's the Bible. Best way to get married is that Bible. Best way to rear kids is that Bible. Y'all hearing the preacher? David's saying, he said, "I can't use these things. They ain't been proven." He said, "But one thing I do know how to use, I knew how to use this staff." And the Bible says he took a staff in his hand. And he knew where to go, Brother James. He knew to go to get to the brook. He said the brook had some stones. He knew which stones in the brook to pick. I don't know how many times he picked smooth stones in the past. I don't know what the deep meaning is of five smooth stones are. I mean, I can have an opinion. I've got thoughts and things of that nature. But can I say this? It really doesn't really matter how many stones that he picked. He just knew where to pick them at and how good they was to use. Y'all hear the preacher? And sometimes I think we try to look for something deep and something new and something great and something wowing so we could wow the people. And can I say this? If the preached word does not stir your heart, if it doesn't stir the heart of a saved individual, someone getting born again or hearing about somebody getting born again, or the preacher preaching about getting born again, if it doesn't stir your heart, friend, there's some things that ain't proven in your life. The Bible says he took out them stones and he put them in his scrip. He had proven them stones. He had proven them. He proven that sling. The Bible said he had a sling in his hand. I'd say he probably left Saul's house like he left David's house, David left his dad's house, already ready to go. Didn't have to get ready. Y'all hearing the preacher? Can I say this? I don't have to have a 2 or 3 day notice whether or not to be prepared to preach the word of God. Y'all hearing the preacher? I don't need 3 day notice to know what to sing. Y'all hearing the preacher? I don't need a 2 or 3 day notice to get prepared on how to pray. I'm ready. Right? James testified about last week about that Passover lamb. Before they even started eating it, what did he tell them to do? Get your rod in your hand, get your shoes on. You're eating it on the go. Somebody hearing the preacher? I mean, we eat everything on the go nowadays, and we ain't got time to sit down and eat supper. But the Bible says he told them before you eat that lamb, he said, eat it on the go, get ready to go. Why? Because we're getting up out of here. I don't have to get ready if the Lord comes back, Brother Don. I don't have to make sure that my election's calling sure because I'm doing it right now. I'm proving myself now. Y'all hearing the preacher? We're living in the days and times where people say, "Well, preacher, that's just going to drive too many people away." You know what it does is that people want to prove themselves by the Word of God. I thought about this, and I told Brother James this. Brother Dax kept coming over to these four men over here. He kept preaching real hard and preaching real hard and preaching real hard. And I don't know about anybody else, but I've been in services before where the preacher preached real hard and preached real hard and got in my face. And Brother Wade and Gabriel and Logan, you know what I did? I sat right there, and it got hot. I went, 1999, I remember that day, Brother Lord. Lord, I remember that day like it was yesterday. I remember that day. I'm proving some things. I'm taking some inventory. Right? You say, "Preacher, why are you doing that for?" Because God showed up. The message has showed up. And the Lord's wanting to make a difference in hearts. And I don't know if this is a word or not. Brother Rogers says preachers make up words. I've heard it before. Bumfuzzled. Because to me, it's all cattywampus. That's a Mildred Faulkner word. What do you mean, preacher? I see so many people now that identify themselves saying they're saved. But I don't see too many people proven. You said, "Preacher, don't you think that's a little arrogant?" No, that's why I spent Friday or Saturday afternoon praying, asking God, "Prove me. Try my heart. Try my reins." Why? Because I got a wife and a kid that's watching me. Seven of them. And then I got to stand in front of a church sister, amen. I got a whole church that's watching the pastor. Right? We got those elections up there and got names upon the board. I know we got visitors, but I'm the head rooster in this hen house. I can crow every once in a while. Huh? He's the one that's keeping the coop. I'm just the one who has to crow. But what if we had the pastor election every year, and every year I put my name upon that pastor election? I know we don't. Thank God you don't, because I've been in a church that does it. It causes so much confusion and problems. But how would you like if I put my name upon that list and I don't show up? I don't call. I don't text. I don't show up. You know who the first person that gets fired the quickest in the church? Thank you, Sister Stella. I know some churches where it says women shouldn't sit on the front pew. I'm glad she is. She said pastor gets fired first. But I know some Sunday school teachers, Sunday school superintendents. I know some deacons and some trustees. I know some singers and piano players and guitar players and all kinds of musicians. Can I say this? We have to let the Lord prove through us that he's a using us. Why? Because if not, there's something else that's going on. Y'all hearing the preacher? I got 3 points for you to take home to you or take it into your heart right now. First of all, 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul is the second letter that he sent unto the believers in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, he said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. First thing he said, now get this, this is the Apostle Paul preaching, writing a letter to a church. He says, first thing y'all need to do is examine yourselves, see if you be in the faith. Examine yourselves whether or not you're saved. Because the way you're all acting in Corinth ain't right. When's the last time you said, Lord, search me. Search me. Am I yours? You see, preacher, how often do you have to do that? Not that often no more. Because I found out if you do what God wants you to do, he gives you evidence. He'll prove you. I may not be the best kid, by the way, I may not be the best child of God there is, but I am a child of God. I have no doubt. He said, examine yourselves whether you've been in faith. He says, prove yourself. Prove it. Is there evidence? Is there a testimony that can be testified on your behalf? If we was to load up everybody and there would be a trial to put you on trial to say you as a Christian, is there enough testimony and evidence to prove you guilty? And then he says, prove yourselves, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. He says, know ye not that Christ is in you? Do you know that he's there? Do you know for a fact that he's there? I'm not saying you don't make mistakes. But can I say this? Something wrong somewhere when folks ain't been proven. Second place we find, first the Lord says, prove yourself, you be in the faith. And secondly, prove the will of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2, he said, I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That means we've got to be accepted by God. Samantha, we've got to be accepted by God if we're walking the way we're supposed to walk. He says, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? By the renewing of your mind. Anybody got Romans chapter 12? Who can get to Romans chapter 12 real quick? I want to make sure I get this. Brother Eddie's got it right now. It says, verse number 2, it says that she said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that will of the God, will of God. Is that right? No, it just says will. Yep. Does it say good, yep, will of God, perfect will of God, and acceptable will of God, right? Yep. Good, acceptable, perfect will. Good, acceptable, perfect will. It's got to be good, Brother James. It's got to be accepted as good, and it's got to be the good, accepted, perfect will of God. You said, preacher, what's the will of God? There's two things. One, none should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's God's will to the sinner, right? Secondly, I'm trying my best I can to get done. I got my watch, and look, I asked God to forgive me. I went in overtime. You said, preacher, I ought not to ask God to forgive you. Hey, y'all don't know what's going on in my heart. I'm trying my very little best. I am to be the man that God wants me to be. But I thank God is not seeing too many good and acceptable and perfect wills. Proven. The first will is that you got to be saved. You got to be born again. Amen. You got to know within your heart. I don't care if you go to the Pentecostal church. You just stand up and say, I'm born again, blood bought, I'm one of his. I don't care if you're in the Catholic church. You should be able to stand up and say, I'm born again, blood bought, I'm one of his. It may get you pitched out, but you can still stand up and say it. And it'll get you even pitched out in Baptist churches if you stand up and say it now. They want you to shut up and not say nothing. Used to, it was in style for a Baptist church to be loud and shout the praises of God. It used to be, it was order, it wasn't chaos, but it used to be in style. But God says, I want to see that good, acceptable, perfect will proven. And the only way you can do by proving that is by your mind being renewed. You may be saved, but you got some really jacked up thinking. If you think doing things the world makes you in the will of God, you're crazy. I hear people all the time talking about, this is the greatest theology we got going on today, the greatest theological debate we got going on. Can a saved person get tattoos? Can they pierce up their body like a pin cushion? Can a woman wear a pair of breeches? Can a man have long hair? God help us. You know what needs to be the common thing, the common theological thing in the church? That you preach Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. Yep. Right? If a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're living a day and time when people want to sugarcoat, trying to round off the edge and say, I want to live the way I want to live. And Isaiah chapter number 4, do you believe it says, there were seven women that come into one man and said, we want your name, but we want to live the way we want to live, dress the way we want to dress. We just want your name to take away our reproach. I want to be identified with church, identified with Jesus Christ, but I don't want to do none of the things that prove his good and acceptable and perfect will. You need your mind renewed. Lastly, I didn't think it was going to get this quiet, but I know it's getting quiet. Your service of the Lord. Oh, wait a minute, I missed one. I'm going to angle my notes. God just reminded me. The will, God's will for the sinner is that they would repent, not perish. What's the will for the saved person, preacher? That they be filled with spirit and not drunk on wine, wearing in excess. Well, preacher, do you think it's wrong for a person to drink alcohol? Yeah. Well, I think a little bit don't hurt. Well, if he wants you filled with the Spirit, how much Spirit can you lack off and still be filled? How much wine can you drink and still be filled with the Spirit, Brother James? That's a great theological question. Just nip that right in the bud right there without going to Proverbs chapter number 20, right? How much alcohol can you drink and still be filled with the Spirit? That just... Yeah, you ain't got to worry about that scripture that says they that tarry long with the wine, got the red eyes being beaten without knowing. God help us today. I feel pretty good right now. I feel better than I did yesterday. Somebody say amen. Help me. Say amen. Hell yeah. Help me. Lastly, Daniel said the proof of the service, the proof of the life. In Daniel chapter number 1, the Bible says they was took captive. They couldn't help where they was took to. We can't help where we live. We can't help it. But Daniel said, I can't help it that we're living here. He said, but he told the head of the princes, he said, I know one thing. He said, y'all bring us the king's meat. He said, me and these fellas, we ain't going to eat it because we're not going to defile ourselves with the king's meat. He said, if you don't eat the king's meat, I'm in trouble. He said, I tell you what, prove me. Prove me wrong. I'm going to follow God. You give us beans. You give us beans, and at the end of 10 days, you come and look and see if we're not in good shape or not. Prove us. That's Daniel chapter number 1, verse number 8, all the way down to verse number 14. In verse number 12, he says, prove us. Prove us by them lentils. Give us those beans. We go eat the king's meat and drink the king's drink. And what happened 10 days later in verse number 14? The king of the princes come through, the leader of the princes come through, Brother James, and he saw them. And you know what they said they was? They was fair and fatter in their countenance than anybody else. That's one of the good places for being fat is pretty good. Somebody say amen right there. You said, preacher, what are you trying to get at? Them men knew not to choose the things of the world. They stick with the things of God. Let the world go to hell and burn, but don't dare defy yourself with the things of the world. You're a king's kid. You've been bought and paid for with a price. Bless his holy and righteous name. He wants to prove his love and life through you to show to somebody else. So are you proven? Are you proven? Is there a connection still with you and the Lord? Is it still pumping the power? Do you still have water coming through your water line? You still got electricity coming through your outlets? Or has it been cut? Has the wind blown down your line of proven? Has the mighty flood of the world knocked out the source of your water, the Word of God? I'll say this, and we get us a song, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm bearing you my heart. I'm giving my heart, Brother James. I hope y'all know I'm just giving you my heart. But I'm looking, and I'm hearing, and I'm watching. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm not making fun of no other church. But it seems like in this day and time, if we don't like what's going on here, we'll go to another church, and they just keep swapping the same circle of churches. And I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm saying this because I'm doing what the Lord had me to do. He's pushing my buttons. We had a bunch of people coming to Mount Zion Baptist Church when I first got here. The only reason why they was coming here, because they wanted a show. They didn't care about getting in, joining in, and doing what God wanted them to do. Some folks may not like that, but that's the truth. I told one person, they said they got mad and they was packing up and leaving. I said, where are you going? They said, I don't know. I said, that's not God's will. And I talked to a dear brother on the phone, and we started talking about things. He said, young pastor, because he's older than me. He says, young pastor, young preacher. He said, God uses time to prove all things that we say we do is right or wrong. Solomon says there's a time and purpose under heaven for everything. He said, but time will prove out if you're following the Lord or not. He said, because it'll stand. Why? Because the fire of God's going to try whether or not if it was precious or if it was stubble. Can I say this? Our life is not our own. It's His. We need to prove that the Lord lives in us, not to everybody else. Let Him prove you to the world. But you've got to let God to prove Himself to you. Do you sing when nobody else is around? Do you worship when nobody else is around? Do you pray? Do you even read your Bible? Are you committed? Notice how it got real quiet? God says, prove me. Prove me. I know Malachi. He was talking about the tithe. I ain't scared of the tithing word. But I'll say this. If you'll give Him 100% of your life and you follow Him, you ain't got enough room to contain the blessing He's going to pour on you. But you got to commit. Allow God to prove you.